Seated. The text for the sermon this evening is Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 17. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is our greatest need as we begin another year in 2024? It is not for health or healing, as important as that is. It is not for a job, as important as that is. It is not for the right person to be elected to public office, as important as that is. It is not for the immorality and the evil and the wickedness of this world to be brought to nothing and put away, as important as that is. None of these are our greatest need as we begin another year of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live between the first coming and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are part of God's new creation. We are new men and women and children in Christ Jesus. But we are still living in a world that is alienated from God. We live looking back to what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his first coming and looking forward to what he will do at his second coming when he makes all things new. And all the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. We live the Christian life between the already of what Christ has done and the not yet of the consummation of his redeeming work. We are reminded of that every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. For as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. There is something worse than physical death, and that is when something dies inside us. It is the death of hope, of faith, of joy. It is when our trust in God diminishes and dies. It is when our expectation dies. It is when our vision dies. That can happen to a Christian. Something dies on the inside and he becomes so discouraged, so distraught. One of the servants the Lord took home this month was Dr. Clarence Sexton. He was anything but a hopeless, faithless, visionless servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you were around him, he encouraged you. He gave you fresh courage and fresh hope and fresh vision. The grace of God can do anything. He was a rare servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have heard some bad news and thought, "Our country will never be the same"? The Chinese Communist government does everything imaginable while we sleep to undermine every principle that is true to our Christian heritage, with the sworn objective of overthrowing this country, of destroying the Christian faith in this land. Communists are committed to take over America without ever firing a shot. If someone says to you, "Our country will never be the same," I want you to tell them, "No, it will not. But it will probably be a whole lot better." There has to be a breaking point which God's people have to reach. The Lord tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We need God's healing. We do not need a political revolution. We need God's healing. God is speaking to us. What happens each day is not an accident. It is the Lord's doing, but people are not listening. God prepares the vessel that He is going to use, and He brings that vessel to a point of desperation. The devil runs around lying. Do not entertain his ideas. Do not promote his lies. When things happen to you that are not pleasant, things happen in our country and in our world that are not pleasant, remember that God is speaking. He wants our eyes turned upon Him. There is something we must have, and that is a spiritual awakening. And God always uses a remnant for that to happen. This nation has to become desperate. Churches need to be awakened. Churches have fallen into a mode of operating so that you could remove God, the Holy Spirit, from the whole picture, and they would not even know He is gone in many places. What God is doing in your life personally means that God is not finished with you yet. What God is doing in the life of this church means that God is not finished with us. God is not finished with our country yet. In our text this evening, the Lord shows us our desperate need for Christ as we enter a new year. The context of our text is grim. Israel commits a great sin, recorded in Exodus chapter 32, by bowing down to a golden calf instead of worshiping the Lord God alone, who is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. The Lord is rightly very angry with His people, Israel. And Moses intercedes for the people, pleading with God that He would not completely destroy them. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 33, the Lord relents from His threat to destroy all the people completely. And He says instead, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." The seriousness of this sin and its consequences flow over into Exodus chapter 33, where the Lord says in verse 3, "For I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." God is saying, "I will listen to your prayer, Moses. I will not destroy Israel, but it is better if I do not go up with you, because this is a stubborn people, a sinful people, a rebellious people. If they do something like this again, I will consume them in the way, in my righteous indignation, in my holy wrath." Oh, what great sorrow flowed through the heart of Moses and through all the people of Israel when God spoke those words. We read in chapter 33, verse 4, "And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments." There was repentance. There was sorrow. There was corporate mourning throughout the nation of Israel. We cannot be without our God. What is Canaan with all of its milk and all of its honey? What is our mere survival without our God? No amount of milk, no amount of honey, no amount of blessing flowing through this land can make it a place of joy, a place of blessing, if the Lord will not go with us. If God withdraws His presence from us, our very life would scarcely be worth living. No amount of cities or farms that we could build or plant will be worth anything if God is not present with us, and if God does not show us His mercy and His grace. That is how the children of Israel responded. I pray that is how we respond this evening as we enter a new year. Our greatest need is the favorable presence of our faithful, almighty God and Father. We need to know Him. We need to have fellowship with Him. We need to be confident that He is for us and not against us. God made us for Himself. We cannot really exist rightly without God. We desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. All of life is empty without Him. That is the tragedy of our deep fall in paradise. Adam and Eve are with God. God created man on the sixth day to be with Him. God put man in His garden. And God was there with His people. That personal name of God becomes abundantly clear in Genesis chapter 2, where we hear more about the creation of man. But in chapter 3, man destroyed it all. God had to expel us from paradise. He had to put cherubim, burning ones, to guard the way in case we went back and try to regain communion with God apart from Jesus Christ. God would have to do something special, something miraculous, to open the way back to Him. The good news is, He did do that. It is His only begotten Son. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel. Jesus, the Savior, is available for sinners, for you, this evening. There is an open way back to God. We need to know our need for Christ experientially in our soul. We need to know His favorable presence in our lives. We need Him to show us His grace. We need Him to guide us in this coming year. The children of Israel could not bear the thought of being without God. I hope you cannot even think about the awfulness of going through this new year without a personal relationship with our almighty triune God. The children of Israel took off their ornaments. They plunged themselves into mourning. They were thinking this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire at night, tangible tokens that God is with us, will no longer be there. If God is not with us, the manna will no longer be there blanketing the ground every morning. How will we survive without God? In the midst of this barren wilderness, how will we survive without tangible tokens of God's presence with us? I hope you say that too. How will we survive without this word coming to us this year? How will we survive without being able to read God's Word in our homes? The Word of the living Christ? How will I be able to survive as a father without talking to my children about it? How can we do without God? It will be an empty life. A life of mourning. A life, yes, perhaps of wealth and riches and possessions and all kinds of outward blessings. A land of milk and honey, as America is in many ways outwardly. But if I do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, if I live in spiritual isolation from my Creator, it's a tragedy of the highest order. I may dream dreams, I may aspire to great things in my work, I may achieve great things in my family, but deep within me there is an ache of spiritual isolation when I do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, you have most of your life ahead of you. Perhaps you have great dreams for your life. That is good. You have hope for great success. You're going to work hard to achieve the highest levels of promotion. All may be well and good. You can have it all. But if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have absolutely nothing of value. It is only when we have the Lord Jesus Christ that everything else becomes valuable as well. Because it is only when we are in Christ and have a right relationship with God, our Creator, it is only when God's own presence goes with us that our inward ache is satisfied. The wealthiest of people, the greatest of Hollywood heroes, the greatest sport heroes, many of them live empty lives because they do not have Christ. The only way to live is to live in Christ, by Christ, and through Christ, for Christ, and unto Christ. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest just not just for your body, but rest for your soul. That is what we need. We need a peace that this world cannot give us. We need a contentment that cannot be found in anything else but in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that is why Moses says in verse 13 of this chapter, "Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up." Verse 15, rather. "For we have no future." And he goes on to say in the next verse, verse 16, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." This is what distinguishes the people of God from all the other people on the face of the earth. They have the conscious, favorable, glorious presence of God with them, and that distinguishes them from worshipers of idols and pagan gods, even the god of materialism. They cannot miss this God. And with Psalm 73, they say, "It is good for me to draw near to God. Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you." We must have the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not mean that God's people always have Christ to the degree they want. We always want to have more of Christ. We want to know Him better in the new year than we did in this past year. We want to live more fully for His glory in this new year than we did in this year. In Psalm 73, the believer envies the wicked who prosper even though they have no time for God. They always seem to be prospering, and I always seem to have troubles and trials. And so the believer envies the trouble-free existence of unbelievers until he comes into the sanctuary or into the holy place of God, and then he begins to see things from God's perspective. Then he begins to understand life as it truly is. And he concludes in Psalm 73, "It is good for me to draw near to God." We may have problems in this new year. You may have problems in your family that will not go away. You may not be all that successful in your work, even though you work so hard. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you, you will have the most important thing. You will have what life is all about. I do not know if the thief on the cross realized completely what he was saying when he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He realized something of it, but Jesus responded, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." That is everything. You can summarize the desire of a child of God with these three words: Christ with me. I need your presence, Lord. If I go through a day without a sense of closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a disastrous day. Even if everything is fine outwardly, inwardly there's an aching void. I pray you know that void, but I also pray that you know the cry of David, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not remove your presence from me." We need this presence, O Lord. If your presence does not go with us as a family and as a church and as a country, do not bring us up from here. Only the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ can give you meaning and value and purpose and joy and fulfillment. Pray for that for yourself. Pray for that for your spouse. Pray for that for your children. Pray for that for your grandchildren. Pray for that for your great-grandchildren. Let your presence go with us. Also on the Sabbaths of this new year, and let the Sabbaths of this new year, under the preaching of Christ and under the word of Christ, be meaningful encounters with the Lord Jesus, that your people and also the unsaved would come to meet with you and would come to repentance and to faith, and that your presence would go with us, and that this house of prayer would radiate with holy joy as we taste the presence of Christ under the ministry of the Word in this new year. Only this can soothe our wounds with the balm of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Only Christ's own presence can give heartfelt sense of communion with God. Only the presence of the Lord Jesus can make sinners holy in this place, in this new year. Only God's presence in Christ can give power to our ministry, can give real worship in this wilderness of the world, can preserve and protect us from ourselves and from our sin, and can convert sinners and establish God's people and glorify the Lord. Oh Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Do not remove your candlestick from all the churches in our country. Do not blow out the light of your presence from among us. Have mercy on our land. That must be our prayer. This land was once known as Christ with America. The Lord Jesus Christ was with America. We've lost it. We've destroyed it. We are self-destructing. Oh Lord, do it again. Pray in this new year, Lord, give a great awakening in our country, greater than the original Great Awakening. Come back, O Lord. What will you do with your great name? Have mercy upon us. Do not leave us alone. Do not let us just continue to exist. That is the greatest punishment of all. That is what God said in Deuteronomy. He said, I will come with my goodness. And if it does not lead you to repentance, I will come with my judgments. And if that does not lead you to repentance, I will just give you over to yourselves. Oh Lord, do not do that with America. Have mercy. Do not do it with our churches. Do not do it with our families. Do not do it with my own soul. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Christ in the midst of us. You, Lord, with me. The experiential reality of that, the consciousness of that through the Word of God is what we need in this coming year. Otherwise, you can just write Ichabod over everything. A Hebrew name which means the glory of God is departed. Christ was the glory of Israel. Christ was the glory of America. Christ was the glory of other God-fearing nations. But once we abandon Him, once we abandon His Word, once we abandon His law, then we are like that woman who died in childbirth, and with her dying breath she said, call the child Ichabod, for the glory of God has departed. O Lord Jesus Christ, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. When you have the presence of Christ, you also have the fruit of His presence, humility, faith, zeal, brotherly love. And when you do not have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the fruit of the lack of His presence, pride, unbelief, disunity, slothfulness, dishonesty, prayerlessness. I hope you understand Moses' prayer here in our text. O Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses is saying, O Lord, if your presence does not go with us, the whole burden of this nation will rest on my shoulders, and I'm not fit for the task. I'm going to bail out. Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. I need you. It's an absolute must. This is true tonight for your pastor, for your elders, for your deacons to lead you. It's true for you as fathers, as heads of your family. It's true for you as mothers in the rearing and loving and training of your children. It's true for your souls as we travel to a never-ending eternity. We must have Christ. There's no other way to live. There's no other way to die. Second, Moses says in Exodus 33, verse 12, that we need His grace and His favor. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. And then Moses turns God's words back to God Himself, and he says in verse 13, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. What is Moses confessing here? He is confessing we need the presence of Christ in His gracious favor. Otherwise, we would just be cast out. The grace or the favor of God is manifested in two ways. First, there is grace in God's favor that He withholds what we deserve. Tonight, we sit and stand here as sinners before God, every single one of us. We all deserve death and hell. We do not deserve anything above ground. We only deserve death and hell because we are sinners. God never gives us as bad as we deserve in this life. You and I have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Oh Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who then could stand? We cannot stand before God with the sins that we have committed just today. Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart? every moment of this day? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself every moment of this day? You are a lawbreaker. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions do not fail. Moses is saying, Lord, we need your gracious favor. Do not give us what we deserve. This people has just made this golden calf. They deserve to be destroyed. Go with us by withholding what we deserve. The second way we need the grace of God, and even more importantly, is God giving us what we do not deserve. My righteousness is as filthy rags before God. Christ's righteousness is perfect in the sight of God. God is the giver in His Son of every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. If you are a believer in Christ, you are blessed with every heavenly blessing. Behold the extravagance of the love of God, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. This is a grace so abundant, so amazing. God opens the treasure chests of heaven, and He allows you to fill your soul with the very best that heaven can give, even with His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the blessings that flow to you through the benefits of the covenant of grace that come to us through the Lord Jesus, the head and the mediator of that covenant. We should stop ourselves every day and say, Lord, I do not deserve this. I have not earned your grace. You have no obligation to give all this to me. God comes with His tangible presence through His word, and He says, but I give it to you. You do have a right to it in my Son, because He suffered and He died for you. It belongs to you. You say, but why, Lord? Why me? And God says, because I have purchased it for you. For you, through the blood of my Son. I have provided it for you in my gracious love, in my gracious favor, through my Son's death. And it is kept for you through my Son's intercession. He bled and He died to pay for your sins, that you should become His property and He should become yours, and that it should transform your entire life. Oh, thank God, not just for His presence, but for His gracious presence that shows you His favor in Jesus Christ. And that favor makes us heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. This is an astonishing wonder. Grace is like God bestowing upon us billions and billions and billions of blessings in Jesus Christ. In fact, God's grace is bigger than that. God's grace is bigger than all the stars. The Puritan said, as great as God's creation is, His creation of one sinner took Him more labor than all the first creation put together, because it did not take Him 6 days. It took Him 33 years to come and suffer and die and pour out His life to give you this grace and this favor. Oh Lord, let your presence go with us in the gracious favor that comes to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, notice also in verse 13, Moses says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. I need you, Lord, in your presence. I need you, Lord, in your grace. And I need you, Lord, to guide me in this new year. Guide me. Show me your way. At the end of this chapter, Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. I wish I had time to expound that tonight, because that's the ultimate end of all things. The glory of God. When God is present, When God is gracious, we will want to know His way. We will want to do His will here on earth as the angels do it in heaven. It is impossible to know the favorable, gracious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and not want to lay down my life and say, "Your will be done. Show me Your way, Lord." How can you know God's way? How can you know God's will? The answer is quite simple. God has set an agenda for us, and the agenda is called Holy Bible. Holy book. In the Bible, God shows us His way. We must cry out to Him, "Show me Your way." But as we cry out that prayer, we must turn to the Word of God and fill ourselves with His Word. God is a wise and loving and individually tailor makes His plans for His people. And by the principles of His Word, the Lord Jesus Christ guides us. He shows us the way that we should go. Psalm 119 is a prayer to know God's way, and every verse of that lengthy psalm speaks of God's Word in some way. And throughout that psalm, the Lord teaches us to say, "I love Your Word. I love Your way. I surrender myself. I submit myself to do Your will, O my God." He says, "Incline my heart to Your testimonies. Give me an undivided heart." That is what we want in this new year. We want Christ's presence with us. We want God's grace in Christ present with us. But we also want a willing heart to obey God, to lay down our lives to obey His Word and to do His will. Psalm 119 teaches us to pray this way because experientially we learn that too often our head is pulling us in one direction, but our heart is pulling us in the opposite direction because we know what we want selfishly. And so there's a battle within us between the new man and the old sinful nature. And so we cry out, "Give me, Lord, an undivided heart. Show me Your way and let me walk in Your way." The closer we get to Christ, the more we see of God. Even like Moses at the end of this chapter, seeing his back parts as it were, the more we know His way and the more we will want to walk in His way because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is saying, "I forsook my own Son so that I will never forsake you, so that my presence will always be with you. It is for my Son's sake that I will show you my way. He followed my way all the way to the cross at Calvary, so that through His power and my right hand, by His Holy Spirit, He will now work in you so that you will yearn to follow me, to walk in my way." We do not follow God's way because there's something good in us that motivates us. We follow God's way because in Jesus Christ we learn to love Him who first loved us. And if we love Him, we keep His commandments. We walk in His way. When we see the love of God to us and we feel the presence of God within us and we behold the glory of God outside of us and we stake our lives upon it and taste the sweetness of the grace of God to us, it is impossible not to cry out, "Lord, show me Your way and I will walk in it. Draw me and I will run after You." In verse 14, God says to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Rest. That is what we need in this new year. Spiritual rest in God, through Christ, in this world. Not the rest of inactivity, but the rest of faith and the rest of peace. Not the rest of luxury, but the rest of contentment in God's presence. Not the rest of having no cares, the rest of casting all our cares upon Jesus, knowing that He cares for us. Not the rest of being freed from satanic temptation, but the rest of knowing that Satan is chained. Not the rest of being satisfied with my soul's condition, but the rest of knowing that Christ, Jesus, is at the right hand of the Father, and He will meet all the needs of my soul as well as my body throughout this new year from start to finish. This rest is a foretaste of the perfect rest in the world to come. When you see the King, the Lord Jesus, in His beauty, you will rest forever without sin in Emmanuel's land. You will joy in God and worship and praise Him day and night in His holy temple. And if you have that rest in the new year, then you will have it for all eternity. Now we taste eternal joy. Now we taste the sweetness of communion with Christ. We're not yet in the land of perfect communion. We're not yet without sin, but we long to be without sin. Jesus says, "I am your rest now. Do not fear what will happen in this new year. I will take care of you. Rest in me. Have I not been faithful to you in the past? I will be faithful to you in the new year through my blood. I will identify with you. I have your own nature. I am bone of your bone. I have the same fellow feeling. You are my delight, and I rejoice over you with singing. I am deeply interested in your welfare. I'm lovingly concerned to do you good." There's not a single step in this new year which God has not mapped out for you by His loving, fatherly foreordination from all eternity. Rest in Jesus. You will meet nothing in this new year for which God's supply shall be too little, for which His heart shall prove too cold, nothing for which His wisdom shall be too foolish. Everything you need, the grace, the strength, the comfort, the wisdom, all are provided for you in Jesus Christ. He will not forsake the work of His own hands. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is committed to conform you to His own likeness. He loves you with all of His heart. His mercy is greater than all your sin. And He will prepare you through sanctification for everlasting life. He will keep you in the palm of His hand. If you are unconverted, you have really never known this deep rest in God through Jesus Christ. You really have no real abiding rest here in this life. You still will never have rest here if you're not born again from above. You desperately need this Christ in this new year. You need Him today. You need Him tonight. Do not rest without being reconciled with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. They're like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Never to rest. Is that the way to live? No. Oh, may Christ teach you to cast yourself upon Him by His Spirit. In all your unrest, in all your misery and agony of soul, and cry out, "Lord God, I come just as I am. Oh, give me the rest that you have promised to every sinner who comes to you. Make haste for the sake of your eternal life. Tomorrow may well be too late." Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great mercy, your marvelous grace, that though your people Israel sinned against you in building a golden calf and saying, "This is your God," brought you up out of Egypt, instead of giving all glory, praise, honor, and worship to you, the true and living God who has no form, no shape, who is not a creature, but the Creator. And yet, Father, you went up with them. You brought them into the land of Canaan. You forgave their sin. you healed them and gave them rest. But that is only a foretaste of that rest that still remains for your people. The rest that we may experience in our lives and the rest that we will receive in glory. Father, we are sinful people. Every one of us deserves your wrath and curse. But instead you give us Christ, who washes away our sins, who purifies our hearts, who takes away the love of sinning and gives us a love for you, O God, and a love for your word, and a love for your Son, and a love for your people, and a love for your worship, and a love for your glory. O Lord, give us that tonight and in this new year. Give us your gracious presence. Give us your guidance and wisdom. Give us the Lord Jesus, who shows us the Father and who leads us by the hand through the days of our pilgrimage, through the trials and the troubles and the difficulties, the attacks, the illness, the weakness, the sorrow, even through death itself, into everlasting life. Father, we pray for those who do not know Christ, whose trust is in their own goodness, their own efforts, their own places where they seek help, redemption, satisfaction, hope, peace, joy, deliverance. Oh, Father, show them the urgency of fleeing to the Savior, of laying hold of Him. For just as we come to the end of this year, so we shall come quickly to the end of life. When we are full of years, the years that you have appointed for us, and then it will be too late to lay hold of Jesus. Father, send your Spirit, that men may hear the voice of your Son and live. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.